Anyway, a system of coerced work forces us to not just turn our children over and not be there for them, to help them negotiate, help them make sense of this insanity, which they feel as insane until we convince them otherwise. So we're not there to help them figure that out, and we're not there to give them empathy, which creates these and to teach them empathy. We have to have our own lives back before we have anything to teach, before we can feel it. But as long as we're in chains, we can't have empathy for others similarly enslaved. So it's all of a piece. It's a circular trap. And this is why I'm focusing on the pundits right now, because they keep us on it. They keep us on it. They won't even say that, yes, we did say the exact same words 2 years ago and 5 years ago and 10 years ago and 100 years ago. And yes, we are treading water. And yes, it is true. No, all they'll tell us is that, well, I guess power is inevitable, and leave us without hope. Or, like, they'll shove out various iterations of Mr. Steele or Mr. Ahmed and tell us that's hope. And then we get betrayed, and then we're even deeper in despair. How can children identify with those the state targets? How can they have empathy for their brothers and sisters if no one has empathy for them? If they don't see it modeled by their parents? And this creates of them material for the state to work on, because they're so starved for recognition. The least little bit they're given, and then you got them. They're loyal to you because you give them something they didn't get, and they don't get, and they need. Power knows that. They know how to create loyalty. We talked about that already with the 2,400-year-old quote from Xenophon. This is old, these tactics. And when pundits don't start talking about the fact that we are trapped in a mindset that we are ready to move beyond, they're part of the system of control. When we let the state define worth, we're pushing our children down the road of betrayal and toward losing a critical capacity that we need to be human beings. As we read Lowe's account of the lack of empathy returning Jews encountered in the aftermath of World War II, we'll be revisiting the words of Karl Popper, Alice Miller, and Virginia Woolf to help us make sense of it. What Popper shows us about ourselves under class is our deeply entrenched power worship. Alice Miller then explains how we're taught it as children, while Virginia Woolf exposes the broad class societal uses to which this mindset is put. These are the two great anti-spiritual veins that states depend on to make us believe they are legitimate, and so to maintain their existence: instilled obedience and power worship. Alice will be explaining how it is that parents teach unconsciously, quote, the relativity of values based upon one's position of power. So it's not just, unquote, so it's not just that the winners write the history. They write our soullessness. They craft it from day one in order to get us to worship them. But how can we challenge this training unless we talk about it? I mean, we know this from our own personal experience on an individual level. We can't figure these things out if there's a problem unless we start chewing on it. And the more heads involved, the better the solution we come up with. We have to talk about it. So you see, necessarily, any longing to get free must confront this blockage called the journalists, the academics, the pundits, who monopolize, define, debate, and don't allow discussion of the internalization of obedience as the state in us.